Now the translation, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Kujai. Rishi Shaunaka asked, O Sutta, the great and transcendentally powerful Vyasadeva heard everything from Sri Narada Muni. So after Narada's departure, what did Vyasadeva do? And the purport, it's a short purport today. In this chapter, the clue for describing Srimad Bhagavatam is picked up as Maharaj Parikshit is miraculously saved in the womb of his mother. This was caused by Droni, Ashvatthama, Acharya Drona's son, who killed the five sons of Draupadi while they were asleep, for which he was punished by Arjuna. Before commencing the great epic Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Vyasadeva realized the whole truth by trance in devotion. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadejitanine. Maybe we could read the English translation together, because sometimes I forget it. So let's go. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at His lotus feet. Our respectful obeisances are unto you, O spiritual master, servant of Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Goswami. You are kindly preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya and delivering the Western countries, which are filled with impersonalism and voidism. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nitya Nanda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhaktivinda. I offer my respectful obeisances to Shri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nitya Nanda, Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivas, and all others in the line of devotion. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, so please bless me, all of you lovely Vaishnavas, that I can say something of interest and relevance and truthful, and I don't deviate too much. Today I'd like to try something with you all, because I've benefited from it greatly recently. It's a particular process of reading, and I've never been very, since I came to Krishna consciousness a few years ago, I found that I haven't really consistently been reading. And when I do, it's not, I don't really get too much from it, to be honest. It's been like that. But the last few months, I've found a great transformation. And it's due to the help from two devotees, Krishna Dharma and Chintamani. They've got a website I put at the bottom here, improvingsangha.wordpress. And we have a little group that meets together to discuss how to read Shastra together. So I thought I'd go through the process here, and we can just see how it rolls out if we apply that to this verse. There's two steps, really. The first step is to understand what is Srila Prabhupada saying when he's putting these words on paper. What can we understand from the words that he's saying? What do I think is being said? And the second thing is we then go on to say, have I got any doubts about what's being said? Have I got any questions? So you get what I mean? We start with defining what is being said. Otherwise, it's possible to kind of misunderstand each other and treat a Prabhupada sometimes. And then I personally found that's really helped me to read more and feel connected. The second part of this process, this is the first part, is to actually do it in the association of devotees. So the aim is to associate with a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada, through his books. And to do that, we associate with devotees to help us understand what's being said in his books. And it's a wonderful process. But here, I can't make it too interactive because there's too many of you. So let's just run through what my findings are from this verse. Okay, so the first part, let's try and understand what I think Srila Prabhupada is saying in this particular verse, 1.7.1. So I'll repeat the verse. Actually, maybe we could repeat it together. That'd be nice. Rishi Shaunaka asked, O Sutta, the great and transcendentally powerful Vyasadeva heard everything from Sri Narada Muni. So after Narada's departure, what did Vyasadeva do? I've put some parts on the board in bold, just to remind me. And So what I'm getting from this verse, what I think Prabhupada's saying, is that, and we've seen in previous chapters, there are the sages of Narishramya. How do I say? Namashiranya. I always get that wrong. And they're headed by Shaunaka Rishi. And so they're talking to Suta Goswami, and they're trying to, they're asking him to recite the Srimad Bhagavatam so they can hear about the pastimes of Krishna. And so I understand in this verse, Shaunaka Rishi is asking Suta Goswami to explain, after the conversation which we've just heard in chapters 5 and 6, I believe, between Narada Muni, and who's the guru, and Vyasadeva, who is his disciple, what did Vyasadeva do after receiving that information? And it's actually a very interesting question. We'll go into that a little bit more. Usually, if we're in a small group, I would ask a partner, or if there's maybe three of us, to repeat back what I've said, so I can actually hear what is it that I've said. Have I said what I think I've said, or am I correct? And then they can give their perspective on what do they think that Srila Prabhupada means in this sentence. And it's actually a very powerful technique, which we obviously won't go into now. So continuing, we'll go to the purport, and we'll take it line by line. We'll break it down. So let's try and understand what Srila Prabhupada says in this line. So let's read together. In this chapter, the clue for describing Srimad Bhagavatam is picked up as Maharaj Pariksit is miraculously saved in the womb of his mother. So from this particular line, I'll be honest, it's confusing for me. I find this quite difficult to read. When I first read this, and I'm still finding it a little bit difficult. But what I understand is that there is somewhere, there is a clue for someone to describe the Srimad Bhagavatam that can be found when it's described where Maharaj Pariksit is saved in the mother of his womb. So that's kind of what I understand from that sentence. Does anyone understand anything different from that sentence? Oh. Okay.
Let's move on.
Okay, the next line. This was caused by Droni Ashvatthama, Acharya Drona's son, who killed the five sons of Draupadi while they were asleep, for which he was punished by Arjuna. So this line is obviously relating to the last line where we were talking about how Maharaj Pariksit was saved from the mother of his womb. And so this is explaining that Ashvatthama is actually the cause of that. But he did something else, Ashvatthama. It's explaining that he also, as well as trying to kill Maharaj Pariksit in the womb of his mother, he also killed the five sons of Draupadi. And then Arjuna wasn't obviously not happy about that because they were his sons, so he took action there. And then the last line of the purport, before commencing the great epic Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Vyasadeva realized the whole truth by trance and devotion. So this is great. So before actually doing anything, and putting pen to paper, so to speak, however Vyasadeva did it, whether he wrote it, I don't know. I guess so. So then what he did, he considered it. He considered it in a devotional trance. What is he going to write about? That's what I understand from this sentence. So again, usually in this process, it would be a small group, and someone would kind of give their own perspective as well on what they think is being said. Usually it's the same, but sometimes it differs, actually. And that's where it gets very interesting. So the next step is connecting with Srila Prabhupada. So I've explained what I thought he said. Now I'm going to explain my doubts, my questions, and break it down like that. So I do have a linguistic doubt, which I touched on earlier. When Prabhupada says in this chapter, the clue for describing Srimad Bhagavatam is picked up as Maharaj Pariksit is miraculously saved in the womb of his mother. I find that very difficult to understand. Does anyone else find that tough to understand? It's just, there's two things, I think. It's saying that there is a clue for describing Bhagavatam. Now, a clue to who? A clue to Vyasadeva? A clue for you know, it's not entirely clear. It's quite cryptic, actually, which makes it quite exciting. And then it says, is picked up as Maharaj Pariksit is miraculously saved. So, is picked up. So who picks it up? And where do they pick it up? Is it in the Bhagavatam where it's narrated that Maharaj Parikshit is saved? Is that where we should be looking for a clue to how Vyasadeva actually started describing the Bhagavatam? If so, that would be pretty cool. So that's the kind of way I've interpreted it. And that's my kind of connection, I think, with Srila Prabhupada and trying to understand that. I also, in terms of another thing, it doesn't look initially like the verse and the purport are related at all, and we find that often. Actually, I've found that a lot, where you read a verse and you read the purport and think, that doesn't seem to have anything to do with what I just read. And many people say that Prabhupada was so excited to get the knowledge out there, he just write it in purports. There's probably some truth to that, but let's not assume immediately that that's the only reason. Maybe Prabhupada speaking on many different levels and connecting things in the Bhagavatam that we can understand if we try and read a bit more deeply. So what I've understood from the verse, as I've said, it's a question by the sages about how Vyasadeva responded to information that was, or advice given to him by Narada Muni. In the purport, though, it's explaining Vyasadeva's inspiration for describing the Srimad Bhagavatam, and somehow that seems to have come from Ashwatthama's activities that are described. Actually, they're described in the same chapter. So Ashwatthama kills Draupadi's sons in the next chapter, chapter 8, and in, I think it's chapter 5, he attempts to kill Maharaj Parikshit in the mother's womb. So it's interesting, all of this information is found in this same chapter. But the question is, how are they related? How has receiving information got anything to do with Ashwatthama killing people? Just doesn't seem to me like an obvious link straight away. But I'm going to try and tie the two together, so I want you to get your little investigator hats on, and we're going to try that. So let's see what happens. Okay, so first of all, we're going to look at the... Remember, we've got two things in the purport. Killing Draupadi's five sons and attempting to kill Maharaj Parikshit. And from the verse, we've got how to receive information. So I'm going to start with the purport. And first of all, how Ashwatthama murdered Draupadi's sons. So let's read this verse 1:7:13-14 together. The son of Dronacharya, Ashwatthama, beheaded the five sleeping sons of Draupadi and delivered the heads as a prize to his master, foolishly thinking that he would be pleased. Duryodhana, however, disapproved of the heinous act, and he was not pleased in the least. So, from what I understand, I won't give my perspective straight away, but I'll just say what I understand, because I think that's where we should start. I think Prabhupada is translating this. This is a translation, not a purport. And it means that Ashwatthama had a spiritual master, or it just says master here, who was Duryodhana? Yes, Duryodhana. And so why did Ashwatthama behead five sons of Draupadi? It's because he thought it would please his spiritual master, because they just lost the war, and Arjuna was his enemy, so let's cut his son's head off. That's what I think it's saying here. But Duryodhana wasn't pleased. He wasn't happy at all. So he actually displeased his spiritual master by doing something. Then let's move on to the purport of that particular verse where Draupadi's sons are murdered. Now this is... Okay, I won't say too much. Let's just read it together. Transcendental topics of the activities of Lord Sri Krishna in the Srimad Bhagavatam begin from the end of the battle at Kurukshetra, where the Lord himself spoke about himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, both the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are transcendental topics of Lord Krishna. The Gita is Krishna Katha, or topics of Krishna, because it is spoken by the Lord, and the Bhagavatam is also known Krishna Katha, because it is spoken by the Lord. This isn't actually the whole purport. I couldn't fit the whole thing in. But just to let you know, Prabhupada mentions the name Krishna and Chaitanya overall 15 times in this relatively short purport. Yet if you look at the verse, what's it got to do with Ashwatthama killing the sons of, Draupadi? Doesn't seem to have anything to do with it. Why is Prabhupada mentioning Krishna so many times. And actually, he's it looks like what Prabhupada is describing here is that the importance of talking about Krishna and discussing Krishna Katha, and he's mentioned everywhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. So Prabhupada's really emphasizing that point. Now, I'm not going to pull these points together yet. I just want to keep them in, so keep them in your minds and hold them, and we're hopefully going to bring it together at the end. I want to move on to the next Ashvatthama antic, as I've called them, which is the attempted murder of Maharaj Parikshit when he's an embryo in his mother's womb, who's Uttara. Now, this is in chapter 8, sorry, the chapter after this, chapter 7. So let's read this together. Lord Sri Krishna then prepared for his departure. He invited the sons of Pandu, after having been worshipped by the Brahmanas, headed by Srila Vyasadeva. The Lord also reciprocated greetings. What this translation is saying, as I understand it, is that after the whole war, after the Battle of Kuru, etc., Krishna was about to leave for somewhere, it doesn't say where, and he was welcomed or greeted by lots of different people, including the sons of Pandu, so Arjun and his brothers. And all of this was headed by Srila Vyasadeva. And it says the Lord also reciprocated greetings. So this means that Vyasadeva was there as Ashvatthama was trying to kill Maharaj Parikshit, which is a piece of information that we can add to the story. And then we've got the next verse translation, which we can read together. As soon as he seated himself on the chariot to start for Dvarka, he saw Uttara hurrying toward him in fear. Okay, so this is the verse that's saying that Uttara, who was carrying Maharaj Parikshit in her womb, she was running to Krishna because she was scared, because as Ashvatthama was about to throw another, he'd previously thrown a Brahmastra, which is like a nuclear weapon. What I can see in this sentence is that they're linked. So Vyasadeva is there next to Krishna, and then he sees Uttara coming in fear to escape the Brahmastra that Ashvatthama is about to throw. So what I'm getting at is that Srila Vyasadeva knew all about Ashvatthama's antics. He was around at the time, and he could see that disgraceful behavior. He could see it, and he was, you know, maybe he was in the middle of the, you know, the Brahmastra wasn't just being threatened to be thrown, it had already been thrown. And Krishna had to save everyone, and Maharaj Parikshit by getting a Sudan Chakra out and whatever he does, you know. Is everyone with me so far? Okay, cool. Because we're about to switch a little bit. Just to put another little bit of evidence in here. Do you remember? I said I had two kind of questions. One of them was the verse and the purport don't really seem related. So I've talked about the purport now and the Ashvatthama's activities. Now I want to speak about the verse where the sages are asking Suta Goswami, what did Vyasadeva do after he was given these instructions by Narada Muni? So in the verse it says, so after Narada's departure, what did Vyasadeva do? And in the purport, Prabhupada says, he answers the question. He says, before commencing the great epic, Srimad Bhagavatam, Sri Vyasadeva realized the whole truth by trance and devotion. So this is what Vyasadeva did. He didn't just, what I understand here is, he didn't just start writing down the Bhagavatam. He thought about it. He contemplated. He contemplated on the advice given to him by his spiritual master, Narada Muni. And so I think that's the answer to the question that the sages are asking, and Prabhupada answers that in the purport. I've gone I've gone through this way quicker than I thought I would. I've only got one more slide, and it's 10 past, so it might be, you know, lots of questions, unfortunately, or early breakfast. So I'll see how long I can make this last slide last. Krishna. I thought this was going to go way over. Does everyone get what I'm saying on this slide? So I'm pointing at the fact that the verse and the purport are really emphasizing that, I think anyway, that we shouldn't just receive information and act on it. We should listen actively and then think about what's being said and then act on it appropriately. And I think that's very relevant because I for one don't often do that. You know, it's usually in the moment of passion. And often, you know, I find myself talking over people, there's a conversation, I want to get my point across, you know, who doesn't? Rather than actually really listening. Vyasadeva really listened and he contemplated very deeply, what should I do next? Now what I want to do is piece together the story, all these little pieces of information or evidences, and tell you my philosophical speculation. So you're not allowed to read the bit at the end in bold. You have to go through with me through the process. You've already read it, haven't you? All right. So this is what we've talked about, and I think I've shown, or at least, you know, I'm trying to. First of all, we know that Vyasadeva's four Vedas describe the impersonal aspect, and he wasn't satisfied. He didn't know why he wasn't satisfied, but we know that he wasn't because he asked Narada Muni, his spiritual master, for help because he just felt unease. And what did Narada Muni say when he came? Can anyone remember? It was the last chapter. You don't have to remember word for word, but roughly, what did Narada Muni, what advice did he give? Yes. Yes, thank you. He forgot to glorify Krishna. That's what Narada Muni said. So obviously you're going to be unhappy, Vyasadeva, because you didn't glorify Krishna. Anything else? Yeah.
Are you happy to identify your body and the mind as objects of self-realization?
Okay. Wow. You remembered the words. So are you happy to identify yourself as body and mind? Is that right?
Are you happy to identify your body and mind as objects of self-realization? It's too bodily oriented.
Yeah. It's a tricky sentence. I remember reading that last night and I struggled with it. And I think that's the value of really reading and discussing like this, because I can repeat back what I think you said, and then you clarified it. You said, no, actually, we didn't say no, but you clarified what you actually said, because I think I misheard, because it's a difficult sentence to understand. Anyone else?
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, so the question is, did Narada Muni, was he referring to everything that Vyasadeva wrote in terms of being impersonal? Is that right? Yes, so was Narada Muni saying that everything that Vyasadeva wrote or said was on the kind of bodily platform, and therefore not satisfying because it didn't talk about Krishna? Yeah, so that's, what do you think? Anyone, any thoughts on that? Yes, please.
I think one of the four Vedas is actually speaking about the fire sacrifices like yagyas. And these yagyas are not impersonal because they're offering to the Supreme Lord as a form of Vishnu. You know, the fire is the mouth of Vishnu. Therefore, I don't think it's impersonal. There is some personal aspect in the four Vedas. Correct me if I'm right or wrong, but so.
Hmm.
But I think, is it?
Yeah, so I think there's a bit of confusion here because we've got a few things going on. I've written on the board impersonal. Now, I may have speculated on that word. I think I pulled that out of thin air. But what was actually said was what Govinda mentioned earlier, which is that Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gornitai Ki Jai. So what actually happened, from what I've understood, what you said, is that Narada Muni asked Srila Vyasadeva, he said, are you happy with this particular way that you've written it? In terms of, you know, it's focused on the body and the mind. Not necessarily impersonal. That's a good question. So is it the case that Vyasadeva was saying that Narada Muni was saying that everything Vyasadeva had written was on that platform? Because he did mention that Vyasadeva wrote the Mahabharata, at least that's what I read. Now, is the Mahabharata focused only on the body and mind? I don't know. Yeah. I can repeat it. Yeah. Okay, so we just had that, you know, Narada Muni said that for the most part of what you've said, Vyasadeva, you haven't, you know, basically done right, i.e. glorified Krishna, but some of it you have. That means that infers that some of it he has, so that could answer the question. But that's a discussion that could keep going, just on one line, which is great. maybe I will make it by 5:30. Oh, please, yes. Yeah. It says Vishnu as well?
Sorry?
Vishnu.
Push.
Yes. Okay. Great. No, thank you. I'll repeat that while I remember it. Someone just pointed out that also Vyasadeva composed the Vedanta Sutra, and Prabhupada uses a number of times he cites the Vedanta Sutra, and it also has words like Purusha, you know, the supreme person. So it's not that everything Vyasadeva said was impersonal. So this has been good, this little sangha, because it's a correction for me, because I wrote on the board impersonal. And so now I realize actually it's not that... Vyasadeva described everything he described was impersonal. Some of it was personal. So that's really important to get those details correct. So thank you. Okay, my third... Hold on. Oh, no, second point is that his guru... Oh, yeah, so we've talked about this. His guru, Narada Muni, explained that he missed out Krishna. You know, we've talked about that. Or at least he didn't talk about Krishna enough. The third point I've got from all of this is that the sages in the verse we just talked about, they wanted to know how Vyasadeva acted on instruction, which I find fascinating. I never think like that. I usually just act. I never think to ask, oh, what did they do next? And if I do ask it, it's just because I'm gossiping. It's nothing to do with really wanting to contemplate how I should act in my own life, which is very interesting, just that part. The fourth part, we can see that Vyasadeva, based on Prabhupada's purport, the last line, he carefully reflected on the advice from his guru before acting. And number five, we obviously know that Vyasadeva then proceeded to make or write, whatever we call it, the Srimad Bhagavatam. That's a fact. I'm building up to something here. There's a reason why we're going through these points. Number six, so what is this clue that Prabhupada talks about? Very elusive, very cryptic. Prabhupada says there's a clue to Vyasadeva's motivation, and it lies in Ashvatthama's antics. That's my word, antics. I've got a patent on that, copyright. Number seven, Vyasadeva was present to personally witness Asvatthama's offences. Now, this is very important because Prabhupada's saying that Vyasadeva had a motivation based on Asvatthama to write the Bhagavatam or to describe the Bhagavatam, or at least how to start it. And it's interesting that Vyasadeva was there when Asvatthama was there. So there was this kind of relationship, this interaction. Number 8, Asvatthama, we know he tried to please his guru by killing Draupadi's sons, but his guru, I said he was furious. It doesn't say furious, it says he wasn't pleased. So that was Duryodhana? Yeah, Duryodhana wasn't happy about that at all. Actually, in the purport to the verse describing Asvatthama's killing of Draupadi's sons, Prabhupada uses Krishna and Chaitanya's names 15 times, which seems completely unrelated. Yet Prabhupada had said the clue for why Vyasadeva wrote or started writing or describing the Bhagavatam can be found in Ashvatthama's killing of Draupadi's sons. So it's interesting that in the purport, Prabhupada is constantly mentioning Krishna and Krishna Katha, the very thing that Narada Muni had advised Srila Vyasadeva to do more of, which is interesting. And then the last point, number 10, Vyasadeva, we know that he was assumedly quite disturbed by Asvatthama's behavior. He's a very noble person and, you know, it was pretty horrible what he did. So therefore, I want to propose, is the clue to Vyasadeva's inspiration during his devotional trance that the way to please the guru is to glorify Krishna and his devotees and not to go against them as Asvatthama had and like he knew that Asvatthama had? And I'd like to speculate a little bit further, because I think it's possibly a little more personal than that. But this is, again, in italics. Did Vyasadeva liken his own mistake in describing and forgetting Krishna, in describing, to the atrocities committed by Asvatthama? Otherwise, why is Prabhupada making this connection so strong and saying the clue for describing the whole Bhagavatam is written in the part where Asvatthama killed his... killed Draupadi's sons. When I considered this, I felt very amazed, actually. I don't know if it's true. It's a philosophical speculation, but I think that's okay, and we can discuss that. But I actually felt like this, what an incredible, if it's the case, what an incredible way that Prabhupada has written these books. He hasn't just necessarily written random things in different verses that don't relate, in different purports that don't relate to the verses. Rather, they're connected somehow, inconceivably actually, if we just read very, very carefully in the association of devotees and really want to understand what Prabhupada is saying. That just leads me on to the last part, which is, I really recommend this. There's a few of us being trained by Krishna Dharma and Chintamani in the process of understanding and connecting to Srila Prabhupada through Shastra. It's very exciting. I've not come across anything like this before myself, personally. And they've got a great website, improvingsangha.wordpress.com. I don't take any commission. That was a joke. No one usually laughs at my jokes anyway, so it's fine. There you go. And I've found it's really helped me to read and connect to Srila Prabhupada. Because often, what do? Often we talk to each other. That's what we call association. But association is, as Prabhupada says in the second or third line of the first verse in the Gita, is associating with pure devotee. I'm not a pure devotee, and many of my friends, I don't think, are. So how do we associate with a pure devotee, Srila Prabhupada? We facilitate. We help each other to come to him. So I imagine it's like, you know, little dots. We're like little dots. And if we're just talking to each other, it's okay, we make a bit of advancement, it's nice, it feels good, but the real way to advancement, maybe, is to these little dots, us, to go in and connect to Prabhupada and then come back to each other. You know, connect to the middle before kind of giving our own speculations. And to do that, we really need this first process. I found that I'm very good at giving my opinions, but do I really often explain what I think I've understood when Srila Prabhupada's speaking a particular sentence, or you know, he's translated a certain verse or purport? I can't say I do, so I'm finding that process very useful. And if anyone wants to learn more, then you can see Krishna Dharma and Chintamani. I think they're here most mornings, or you know, I'm learning, I can maybe help as well. Thank you for listening. Hare Krishna. Oh, any questions, or are you going to tell me it's all wrong, which is fine as well? Yes, Gurudas.
Thank you, Prabhu. It's interesting you linked Aswatthama with Vyasadev. I've heard that in the next Satya Yuga, Aswatthama will become the next Vyasadev. Wanted to just bring that up.
What do you,
I don't know what you think of it.
Well, it's very interesting. I think you might not know off the top of your head where you got that information, but I'd like to find out. I'd like to find out where that's from. Because I think that's the way we can connect. It's following these philosophical hunches, and they're really trying to find out about the personalities. I mean, how many times have I read something mechanically and gone through it? But there's something real here. It's a live document. It's, you know, the Vedas personified. They're people. I'll look into that. Yeah, thank you.
Two points or two questions. Could expand maybe. I'm also trying to read Srila Prabhupada's books. Unfortunately, I haven't been doing so. I'm trying. I also find there is a lot to be gained from just going through the words of Srila Prabhupada. Because we've been having a discussion lately about reading, and the point's coming up that we dissect everything Srila Prabhupada says, because devotees, when they read Srila Prabhupada's books, they sometimes say, oh, I'm not getting anything. But I feel that by just reading Srila Prabhupada's books, if someone asks you to then relay what you've read, you may not be able to come up with much. You may be able to just say, Krishna is brilliant, and that's it. But it really comes from within, after spending so much time of hearing Srila Prabhupada's words. So I'm trying myself to do both. One is sometimes dissect things with devotees, but also even with devotees, just keep hearing Srila Prabhupada's words without commenting. I don't know what's your experience of that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have much experience, but I like that as well. I read with a friend, and we just read. I think it's, we just read and read and read, and I love it as well. But I think there's different ways of doing it. I personally I feel like, you know, whatever works. If I'm connecting with Krishna, that's great. And some people can connect with the pure devotee Prabhupada directly through his books. As I mentioned in the first. The first verse of the Bhagavad Gita, I think it's the third line, Prabhupada says, to read Bhagavad Gita, you need to associate with a pure devotee and basically get rid of the... you have to do it objectively. Can't do it based on what I want to get out of the scriptures. Oh, I'm gonna read it because I want to find something to do with the thing that, you know, my sense gratification, to justify my own sense gratification. But the question is, how do I read Shastra like that? How do I read it objectively? Because I'm not a pure devotee. So I've always got my little tinted glasses on. I'm always looking at everything from my own way of thinking, my own preferences and biases. And that's why I think this is a particularly good solution. Doesn't have to be all the reading we do. But what it does, the first stage of this, understanding Srila Prabhupada, it gets two people in a pair or in threes to read a line, and it's practicing hearing someone and then actually really hearing them, because I'm repeating back what I think they've said. So they're saying, this is what I think Srila Prabhupada is saying this in this particular line, and I'm saying, well, I think what you said is this. And that's good, because on so many levels, what it does, it helps the other person to feel heard. It helps me to practice listening, which I think I can definitely do practicing. There's many different perspectives. We might see different things out of what Prabhupada is saying. So there's extra depth. But I also think some people can connect with Srila Prabhupada just on their own. They're very advanced. And also there's other ways of reading, like you said, to just read together the pastimes and just read Chaitanya Charitamrita or Krishna book. And I think that's very valuable. I think, you know, there isn't just one way. I think there's many ways of doing it. But I think this is very valuable for our own community in terms of culture of listening to one another and practicing that.
Harishama, thank you for the wonderful class. Just wanted to present this point. I'm not sure about Duryodhana actually being a spiritual master of Ashwatthama, because as you know, as the Kurukshetra battle went on, from Bhishma, the command was being passed from Karna to finally when there was nobody left, so it was Duryodhana. So it was because he was leading the army of the opposite side. And here, is it the inspiration is only killing the five sons, or you do have that incident also where Ashwatthama is throwing the Brahmastra? Because over the history of Mahabharata, you can see Krishna is always, you know, he is making the small adjustments. For example, when Duryodhana wanted to marry Subhadra, Krishna actually personally intervened and make sure that Arjuna gets married to Subhadra, because and as soon as he sorted that arrangement, he was smiling at himself. He said, now I can relax because the progress of the Guru dynasty is going on. Because these two, when these two came together, Abhimanyu came, and from Abhimanyu, Parikshit Maharaj came. So because Parikshit Maharaj, if the Brahmastra kills a Parikshit Maharaj, there will be nobody to actually hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. So if you have any points on this.
That's that, thank you, that's a really nice point. I was considering that actually, and I hadn't mentioned it. Maharaj Parikshit was the last one who could basically pass it on. So there was the protection of him. Sorry, you're saying, you said quite a lot there, so I'm going to struggle to repeat it all, but I think you're saying that there's another, maybe there's another way of looking at this relationship between, I don't know if you call it relationship or interaction, whatever, between Ashwatthama and Vyasadeva, and it could be to do with Maharaj Parikshit being saved in the womb of his mother by Krishna, and the Bhagavatam being passed on. Maybe Vyasadeva was reflecting on that. Yeah, I agree. Yeah, that's a really good point. Thank you. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Oh, sorry, Ravindra. It's playing up. By the way, it's past 12, so it's breakfast time. So maybe we can ask, if anyone has any questions, we can ask them afterwards.